This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. Proverbs, chapter 10. Proverbs, chapter 10. Bob said, did I set a record Sunday night, time-wise? I said, I had no idea. So now I have to cut back to balance it out. But, we've been in chapter 10 for some time. And I had hoped to finish, but you know how that goes. And the last time in this chapter, we only covered four verses. And I'm going to read them again. And then we're going to pick up in the next verse. So verse 18. He that hateth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth her slander is a fool. If you went through Proverbs and then some other places as well. You know, the list of a fool and the descriptions and the character are quite lengthy. It's not like this is just an isolated thing. There's a lot of information. In the multitude of words, there one is not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. All right, this verse has really a twofold meaning. God's blessing gives wealth, and there is a form of physical wealth and spiritual as well. And those who are rich that have that blessing, those who are rich without God's blessing have just that. That's all they have. I mean, it's like a self-made man or a self-made woman. That's all you are. There's nothing involved with God. I've talked to a lot of people that say, you know, I can work this out or I can figure this out because I'm in control. And normally, more than normally, you can't figure it out. And you're not going to figure it out. So, hold your place here. Open up to Haggai, chapter 1. In Haggai, he's talking to the people of God that returned from captivity in Babylon. And they basically were still an agricultural type people. And when they attended to their crops, they faithfully watched over them and not only their crops but their households, and yet they had misfortune succeeding with more of it. Was just misfortune upon misfortune, and general poverty was closing in all around them. And on earth they couldn't read the cause of their failure, but Haggai did through the Lord. So go down to verse 6, Haggai 1, and then verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So they'd come back, and they were grateful to come back. Many of them, this was part of the remnant, but many of them had forgotten God, and he had withheld his blessing. And so everything that they did was failing, and they didn't have an answer for that. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So we're mixing the physical and the spiritual there together. In verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. All right, so I read this as there's two ways of accumulating wealth. Some grow rich with God's blessing, and others grow rich without God's blessing. And it's beyond the realm of accuracy to say that it appears the God of this world gives riches and gifts to his children, just like the true and living God gives gifts to us. I think you know the Lord provides for us, but I think the Lord also provides that not the Lord but the devil provides for his own too. And so when neither the giver or the getter acknowledge the goodness of God, that's what we're talking about here. So where's the difference? Since both the godless and the godly obtain wealth, it lies in the verse. But he addeth no sorrow with it. God doesn't add sorrow to the riches which he gives, but the devil does. That's the way it works. When you're allowed to obtain wealth on which you did not seek and do not seek God's blessing, that wealth becomes a sorrow many times. For example, any ill-gotten gain, gambling, the lottery. How many people haven't won, supposedly, millions and millions of dollars and have stated publicly, I wish I had never done that. Because everything fell apart, everybody came against them, everybody tried to take the money. It was nonstop all the time. You know, you think, and I've heard my dad said, you know, one day I'm going to win the lottery. And he says, then what I do, I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to buy that, and I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give my sister this. And I said, I think that I've always said to people that want to play the lottery, why don't you just give me the money? I'll put it in the toilet and flush it, because you have a greater attempt to gain there than you do with that. I mean, when people think, well, there's a chance. Yeah, you ever see how many millions of the chance is? But many times this wealth becomes a sorrow. It becomes an issue. And the gambling of strife, the scams, the alienation of the families, the sorrows, and many times the destruction. A few of these people have actually committed suicide. Is they just can't handle it. It's just too much. And so there's two, you know, we're talking about choices. There's two ways you can look at this. They're rich. The Lord reigns on the good and the bad, doesn't he? All right? The Lord is also good enough to give to those who will seek him. And the devil is good enough to give to those that don't seek him. So you're looking at things, but with the one, there's a catch. With the other, there's no catch. The Lord gives you these, but like it says there in verse 22, but he doesn't add sorrow with it. So it's not something that you look at and say, I wish he had never given me this. But the other way, oftentimes that's what it is, because you've done this on your own. Many people try to be, or they're told to be at home, to be good citizens, to be good children, to be responsible, and that's all good. But there's a missing element if they don't include God in there and seeking him first. Because when God's involved in that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. The things that were going on in Haggai or the things that Matthew 6 talks about. God will take care of that. So, you know, if you're going to try to do it, oftentimes it's at a high price. All right, verse 23. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. All right, so let's start this way. How awful it is to God to mock sin, to minimize sin. We're talking about somebody here that does or practices mischief, and that's one evil. To make a mockery of that sin is another matter, and it's worse. Like, some people have done things to other people that were vulnerable, and then they were either punished for that or they responded negatively to that, and then the people that did that to them laughed at them and mocked them. You better be careful. Look at what sin cost the Lord Jesus Christ. God imputed to him all our iniquity. Just think, if it was just you in the room, he still would have imputed all your iniquity to himself. He still would have had to die, still would have had to pay the debt. His blood still would have paid the price in full, and he would have been buried and rose again to do what? Deliver us from sin's power. Before you and I were saved, we didn't have that advantage. You may think you did, but you really didn't. We were in the slave market of sin. We were facing the penalty of death, and we had no power over sin. Matter of fact, most everything we did had a sin basis to it. So the part about salvation is important because we've been delivered from the sin's power. We don't have to sin. Remember that verse in 1 John chapter 2? My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. If you couldn't do that, why would God write it? If we as saved people, but if you sin, you know, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So there's an acknowledgement we have the power not to. But when we do, we need the advocate. We need our divine attorney. And so to mock at sin is extremely evil. To mock at sin is really an attack on holiness. Holiness of God, holiness in our lives. To mock at sin now is the way to the place of eternal weeping and torment. A lot of people won't see that yet, but they will. To laugh at sin and to laugh at holiness are two sides of the same thing. You can't separate them. So I want you to look at two people in Scripture. One of them is Nabal in 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. I'm using him as the man that really kind of mocks sin. It's sport to a fool to do mischief. Okay? So he would be the picture of the fools. 1 Samuel 25, down here in verse 2, then there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great and had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. Does anybody know what the Nabal means, interpreted in Hebrew? Fool. I wonder why people named their children oftentimes after the characteristic of what they would be as grown-ups. And today we don't do that. I don't think we have a clue. Anyway, Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was curlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Okay, go down to verse 5. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. This is really a little bit of a play on the first verse that we were talking about, riches without God, riches with God. Verse 9. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all these sayings. And here's David's reaction. And David said unto his men, gird on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. So, doesn't look so good. Now go down to verse 39. Abigail intercedes, obviously. Softens David so that he's not going to do this. Verse 39 says, and when David heard that Nabal was dead, right after that he died, he said, blessed be the Lord that has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. So I look and I would say, this would be the man that was a fool to mock sin. Right? The other one is in Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25. And this would be Phinehas. Numbers chapter 25, beginning in verse 6. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation. You're going to think this is weird, but the Lord's in this. And took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, when he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say I, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. So here is a situation where it was brutal, but the Lord conveys the idea that he was the wise person, and a man of understanding had wisdom. And of course they did things a little differently back then. I'm glad they don't do that this way. Sometimes we probably should. Our Lord looked down upon Jerusalem, a city full of sinning people, and he wept. And those who are wise know what's acceptable to each life and each situation. The person that's not, like it says here, a fool, he doesn't know. All he knows is mischief. All he knows is chaos. And so the wisdom is very important. Every circumstance and situation calls for either a foolish response or a wise response. And I've said this before in terms of hypocrites. Know the difference between acting foolishly and being a fool. There's a world of difference. A fool has no choice. That's what he is. You and I can act foolishly, and we can repent of that and confess that and get back to where we were. But the lost man, that's all he can be. All right? 24 and then 25. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Okay, don't come away with this and think that the wicked only experience fear and the righteous only experience desire or hope. Both experience both emotions. There's a different thing at play here, obviously. But in that respect, one thing happens to all. There is a form of dread of evil that is built into man, and there is also the desire of good. Unless, of course, you're an existentialist, then there's no hope there. In the end, the wicked will get what they feared to miss here on earth. And the righteous will get what he hoped to miss, the righteous will get what we expect to get. Let's put it that way. I don't want to turn my words over. The wicked cleave to their sins by their mouth, by their desires, by their actions, by their heart. We hear this all the time. We hear it from psychologists. We hear it on the television. We hear it. Sometimes we hear it in school. Follow your heart. Listen to your heart. No, 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 never. All right. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. All right. So let's throw everything into the pot. All kinds of sin. All kinds of circumstances. Your heart, my heart, is deceitful above them all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Can I know my heart? No, other than I know it's deceitful and desperately wicked. And if I know that, I have a form of wisdom if I maintain that in situations and circumstances, knowing that something may sound good, but my heart's deceiving me. And really, I mean, you may see things about my heart that I don't see, and I may see things about your heart that you don't see, but it's very difficult to see our own hearts. It just is. So what do the wicked fear? The wrath of God and punishment for sin. That's their fear. His desire for eternity is that there is no God. And I don't know that they even think about eternity. And that desire, that hope is not going to be granted because there is a God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, you got to come to God in faith. You can't please Him if you don't do that. How utterly reckless is it to gamble your eternity on the expectation that God will turn out to be a lie? Like the tooth fairy. Like Big Red. Santa. Aren't they lies? Absolutely. And little children are lied to regularly and think that, where did that money come from? Well, that tooth fairy. Tooth fairy? Well, are we dealing with something in the spirit world? What would a tooth fairy be? A tooth fairy would be good or bad? Well, good because they gave money, but a fairy would be bad. And Big Red, just changing around some words, is really Satan, you know, and many of the songs. And I remember growing up, he knows whether you've been good or bad, and thinking, you know, as a little boy, how could that be? And never really making the connection that he was really assuming the role of God, or we were giving him credit for being that. So all they that fear, the very things they fear will come upon them: death, judgment, hell, lake of fire. Now, we all have fears. Some people have fear of heights. I'm scared of certain things. I'm a lot better now, but I never. When I was young, we lived in apartment buildings, and we were all out one day, probably four or five of us, and we were playing, and we were playing war, and so there was a copper wire about that long that we found laying around, and so don't ask me why, I stuck it in an outlet, and I was here, and the outlet was probably right here. All of a sudden, I was there. And I don't know how I got there, other than I was still alive. And so I've had a fear of electricity. If somebody wants electrical work done, now I'm a lot better, but I was desperately afraid of electricity. And back then, you remember, nothing was grounded. So you had metal tools. And if you were barefoot, many times you'd get shocked. So we were doing this, and we added the outlet there and there, and so the guy was working with that one, and he had the screwdriver, and I was right here, and all of a sudden fire came shooting right out there, and I just walked away. I said, "Here we go. I've come all this time, not afraid." And now that has to happen. So now, you know, I've worked with these. I've worked with all the lights. I know how to turn it off. It's not a fear, but we all have fears. So just think, you know, we look and say, well, hey, the righteous aren't going to fear. Of course we do. There are things we're afraid of. I remember when Brother McGregor had the heart issue. And he was on the table up there in Paris. And they said, we've got to take you to Orlando. And the helicopter's coming. He says, I'm not going. And the guy said, fly or die. Because he was afraid to fly. You know, there's some things you have to do. So the desire of the righteous will be realized one day. So that what then becomes of the fears? And the fears, I think, you know, are more spiritual here. Well, what happens to the darkness when the daylight shines? The darkness is gone. And so will the fear. All the fears will be gone. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There's no condemnation to those who are saved, basically, is what it's saying. We're going to be in heaven one day with the Lord. We're going to see Him face to face. We will be like Him. Hopefully we're being more conformed to the image of Christ every day. Today we have the indwelling Holy Spirit and all the ministry of that entails. One day we'll have an incorruptible body and we will be perfect. Right? All those things we have to look forward to. And hopefully we are. When we look at this and we see the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon them. The wicked flee when nobody's chasing him. Why is that? There's something that's going on in his head, in his soul. And then it says, the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more. We see the hurricanes come upon us. And we endure when they come through. And usually they like to come through at night. I don't know why that is. But they do, and then they're gone. And the day after, there might be a lot of destruction on the ground, but the sun is shining, everything is good. What's changed? You're alive. The material possessions are just that, they're material possessions. We're not taking any of them with us. Praise the Lord that we, you know, didn't get hurt worse here than we did, but we took care of it. And it turned out better than where we were before. I mean, I would have rather not had to go through a flood, but we did, and we came together, we made it work. But our desire is going to be realized. Theirs is not. And that's the sad part. You know, you talked about the son-in-law this is a close call. But close call or no close call, unless the, you know, he comes to the place where he's saved, all these things are going to come upon him. When you think about what's going to happen to lost people, it should motivate us even more to talk to people about their soul. We had to do a bunch of errands yesterday, and so we were trying to figure out, should we try to get something real quick to eat and then do these, or do them and then eat. So we decided we'd stop by the McDonald's on US 1 and eat junk food. So I was waiting, and so I asked her, I said, it was about the order, and I said, I thought that the fries were $1. She said, oh, you have to have an app. I said, I just happen to have an app. And so she showed me what to do, and she scanned it. And she said, something along the line of, you are so blessed to have that app. I just think that's the greatest thing. Well, we went over, and I asked Linda if she had the Chick Track called the one about the limited, what is it called? What is it? Limited time offer. Okay. So I went back and I had to wait. It was just on my heart that I need to go back there. And so she was finally free, and I said, you remember you told me that I was blessed because I have this app? I said, I'm really blessed because I've got Christ as my Savior. And so I want you to have this limited time offer. I said, God's making this for you so that you can have the same thing that I have. And she looked at me and she said, I really need this. You know, you feel like you're going to fall down. And I said, yes, you do. And she said, she asked where we were, and I told her, and she said, I'm going to read this. She said, I am going to read it. And I said, if you do and it makes sense, you know, trust the Lord. This is very important. She says, you have made my day. And I walked out. I told Linda, I said, I didn't make her day. She made my day. You know? But there's times when you know you should have had a track the first time, but it didn't. But the second time, I got to think about it more and do things a little differently. And the Lord, I think the Lord honors that. You know, I mean, that's what we're here for. So we who are believers, when our hope is fixed on the precious cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't need to be downcast. You don't need to be afraid. Despite the fiercest thing that the world can throw your way and the many temptations that come through that, you know, or the devil, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We have, when we look at this, everything that we need. There's nothing more that we need. It's all there in what God has complimented us with. And you know, I'm reading this and I'm thinking in the illustrations that in the Old Testament and how much they didn't know and how much we know. And yet we can read this and still be afraid. We can read this and some people can still minimize sin. And yet the Lord is talking in absolute terms. This is what the wicked are. This is what they do. This is what the righteous are. This is what they do. This is the expectation of the wicked, even though they deny it. This is the expectation of the righteous. And sometimes it's not given. But wisdom and understanding go together. And we have to deal that way in all these situations. And it's always worth it, even though for the time it may not appear that way. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom that's contained in this book. The wisdom that you gave to Solomon to pen and protect and preserve these words. Most of the things that he's put out here, we know have come through his experience. But they're your words through his life. And they form a pattern. And we have choices all the time. In every situation, are we going to use the wisdom that you've given us, or are we going to play the fool? And I just pray that we think before we act, and that you just oversee and lead us in the direction that we should go. And we just ask for your protection, and we ask for all these requests tonight. Many things are going on in many people's lives. Oftentimes, we don't even mention those that are home, unable to come. There are others that are home, able to come, and don't. And so we just pray for both situations, that you would work out your will so that we can be obedient Christians, or that you just comfort us and encourage us and strengthen us in the situations we're in. Thank you for bringing us together tonight. Thank you for our salvation in Christ, the things that tie us together. And we just pray that as we leave here, we leave encouraged, strengthened, and armed for what you have for us the remainder of this week. Pray for our service this Sunday and everything in between. That you just keep us busy for you in every different aspect, that your will be accomplished in all of our lives. Give us safety as we go to our homes and a good remainder to the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us, or write us, or email us in this most important matter, or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.